How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. The following program is a CLW83.com production. This edition of the NAWC is uncensored. For nearly 8 years, and nearing 400 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, the NAWC, professional wrestling's podcast of record. And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and CLW83.com present the North American Wrestling Connection, your home for informative and entertaining wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by the following.
This is Jeopardy.
I'll take 7-letter words for 1,000.
To grapple like Kevin Nash or CM Punk.
Shane.
What is sellout?
No.
Fuck you.
Nicole.
What is retired?
No.
All right, fuck you.
James.
What is podcast, as in podcast where your grievance is about a horrible work environment in which you damn near died from a staph infection nobody noticed and were passed over multiple times for the main event at WrestleMania for no reason whatsoever? You know, podcast?
7-letter word this time, wrestle.
Coach, shut your mouth.
Podcast is a 7-letter word, and it was one that was used a lot the past couple of weeks. And most of it was over some poor punk who could barely get his name out anywhere.
Pay attention to me!
I have survived the holidays, as we all have with the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and we have some of the usual suspects around the table. First, we have the other contestant from Jeopardy, Bad News Beeman.
Oh, dear God, I had to block my ears for that one. That was terrible!
let's see. Down in the sunny sunshine state, Mr. Chris Waters.
Boy, what a slow news week, isn't it?
I'm serious. I really don't think we have anything to talk about. This is going to be a quick show, but
yeah,
I might be able to
stretch this out good, Will.
Oh, I brought somebody to help us stretch this just a little bit. Jason's here.
Ah, yes. See, here's the crazy thing. The news is more on the outside than the inside. It's sort of like the podcast game of telephone, if you really want to call it that.
To be honest, I almost don't need to talk about Raw or SmackDown or TNA. The major stuff did not happen on my television, as CM Punk, Colt Cabana, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Vince McMahon broke the internet. Take that, Kardashian.
Yes. But who was the one who exposed their ass the most? Oh, yeah, it was Austin. sorry.
He only exposed the ass with the one... by talking to the ass that was sitting right across from him.
Yeah, anyway. Pretty much. Oh, and by the way, Ryback chimed in too in a radio interview, but we'll get to that later as well.
Yes. Let's see. Just let me finish this up real quick. Okay. Sorry.
Stop with the super cards during the show, Nikki.
I'm not playing super cards right now. Although, for the doofuses at 2K who are producing the game, putting Christmas decorations on my cards is just downright silly. Every every single card has Christmas lights around it. There's frost on the numbers.
Okay, you say they have Christmas lights and frost? Mm-hmm. It needs to... You gotta get a Kane card now.
What I need is a Kane Pro card. It's then that way it'll be snowing in the background.
Right.
So... But... And somebody mentioned something about Seamus with green Christmas lights, but I'm not going to go there. Where was I? As I said, most of the stuff that we need to talk about is with other podcasts. Now, Colt Cabana's been doing his forever. I know his has been around for a while. And he was the lucky bastard who got to sit down with Punk. Now, we already talked about the main podcast, the one that Jim so amusingly referred to, where Punk pretty much tells his side of the story, which is probably a little embellished. Wrestlers have this problem. And when we got around to Monday, it wasn't so much waiting to see what was going to happen on Raw, because I don't think anybody was really all that interested in seeing the GM or... No, wait. Yeah, this past Monday was the anonymous GM that John Cena had to bury. But... One of my favorite wrestlers out there, Stone Cold Steve Austin, got a hold of Vince by his tie and sat him down at his podcast and said, you know what, I'm going to ask you a few questions.
And we all thought it was going to be corporate. It was going to be, you know, sanitized. It was going to be, you know, the whole nine yards.
I expected Austin to poke Vince about other things. The question about Savage, I expected. That one didn't bother me. It bothered Vince a lot. A couple of the images that I've seen where he gets a little wide-eyed and, this is a part where he starts tugging on his ear.
Thank you, Carol Burnett. That's an old school reference right there.
So it's, you know, they talked about Savage. They talked about the Attitude Era, which was more than expected. Then Austin says, we might need, do you want to talk about Punk?
Uh-oh.
And seeing his eyes, just seeing Vince's eyes made it worth it. So that's the part where you're supposed to sit back.
I know, it's going to be so awesome.
Well, Vince probably didn't think that, but... let's see. So Vince told his side of the story. Sort of, kind of, maybe. Somebody help me out here, because I did not listen to the podcast. I'm just going off the few clips they ran on SmackDown, since they decided not enough people heard it, and they reran it right after SmackDown on December 5th as we're recording.
Well, Vince basically said, and I will get the actual quote here. Well, first of all, he personally apologizes to Punk, which to me blew me away, okay? Because it was just like, you went there. I was like, okay, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So just okay, here we go. Sorry, just pulling it up. Here it is. Vince said he wanted to personally apologize for Punk getting his termination papers on his wedding day. He said that in a company their size, the different areas of their company didn't know what was going on in other areas. He said he was very sorry about the timing of when Punk received his paperwork. you can hit the button at any time when you want to, by the way.
Yeah, okay? let me translate that for everybody.
Bullshit.
I'm sorry. I kind of believe that just because I've been in a corporate environment, but Vince is such a control freak that whole explanation. Sorry, man. I don't believe you, Vince. I do not believe you one iota about that.
Continuing. Vince said that he didn't want to go through dirty laundry. Vince said that there have been others who were disgruntled and they didn't that they said things they later regretted, and that he hoped he and Punk would one day work together again. Vince said that he didn't listen to the Colt Cabana interview, but heard Punk used a lot of expletives and things were said that were his perspective on things. He said he had issues with Austin and Hulk Hogan, but they eventually came back. Vince said he was willing to work with Punk again and admits that while Vince has a big ego, he's willing to put it aside and work with Punk down the line. Punk later said that Punk really worked hard for the company. And then Austin talks about his situation. Okay, so I'll ask you, Shane, you heard this, I don't know, or saw it. Do you believe Vince at all?
I saw a part of it, and I saw the apology part. And part of me said, okay, Vince is sincere with this, but then when I heard the second part of Punk's podcast that he did, the part of me said, oh, yeah, you know what, that is actually true. If Vince was actually legit, He could have gone to his house and apologized to him face to face.
Well, I have that clip, which we're getting. Jim is getting for me right now, but I'm gonna actually play the retort, because Nikki, they actually on Colt Cabana's podcast. Okay. Oh yes, we're gonna bring that. But there was a more interesting part, Nikki, about this podcast that, well, I think is more important than this.
Well, just, you know, I know we have a clip, but I'm going to sum up, you know, Punk's thought about Vince's apology.
All right, fuck you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because to be honest, Punk's issue isn't with Vince. Punk's issue is with the evil boss.
Oh, yeah. The evil boss and him are in... Let's all go back to the pipe bomb, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What did he call Paul Levesque? His doofus son-in-law.
Yeah, and Punk doesn't use doofus the way I use doofus. I use it as a term of endearment. I think Punk is using the actual definition.
Like dumbass, like you know,
derp.
Derp.
So, and like I said, I think I said this on the other podcast, the Hunter doesn't like being upstaged. See Survivor Series 2009. Hunter doesn't like to be proven wrong, and Hunter holds a grudge. This puts Punk squarely in the Randy Savage, Bruno Sammartino, Ultimate Warrior category to Hunter's Vince.
Yep.
So, Chris, even though Vince is saying, I want to work with Punk again, and Punk's not interested at the moment, it's not going to happen in a year, it's not going to happen in 5 years, but do you think it will happen?
Honestly, there's a lot of factors to consider when you're talking about that. For one, well, Vince isn't a young guy, even though he says he feels fine and he wants to continue. That was in the interview he had near the end of it, after he called an audible during the interview to say, you know what, let's go on another 10 minutes. I own the damn network.
Right.
The thing is, Vince isn't getting any younger, and you never know, something that he doesn't expect could medically happen, so that could take him out. So he might not be a factor in that regard. But if it does end up being Paul Levesque in charge of everything, it's up to him to decide, well, is it, can I put my ego aside and my personal grudges to do business with Punk in the long run afterwards, and if Punk is willing by then, because right now Punk is angry, and obviously he has his reasons, and it's from what he said, it's from what his side of it is, he's got his pretty good reasons, and there's some people coming out that saying other things that could substantiate Punk's sayings there.
Mm-hmm.
So it will take a lot of talk, it will take a lot of work, but I won't say it can happen, but it might be a long time before we see Punk again, if we ever do again. That's mm-hmm. all I'll just say.
Shane, your thoughts on that?
I don't know. Do I want to see Punk back? Hell yes. Do I believe he will come back? Like Chris said, it's going to take a lot of different scenarios. Like, pretty much main case in point, how they treat his wife in the near future. If she brings back bad tidings, well, I guess that's just going to say Punk's just going to be like, yep, cut this tie altogether.
All right, Carl, you wanted to chime in on this?
Yeah, the question was, once again, what was the question? Re-exit?
It's not going to happen in a year. It's not going to happen in 5 years. But do you think that the fences will be mended between Punk and the Fed?
Honestly, no. I don't think Punk's ever going to come back. And with the gigs that he's got lined up, he don't need to.
I know he doesn't need it. It's just a matter of, you know, I'm seeing this like a Randy Savage, Ultimate Warrior, Bruno Sammartino situation.
It also depends on how much money he really saved up during his time wrestling.
I think he saved a fair bit, and I know he made a fair bit.
And judging from what Colt said on his second podcast, yeah, he said a comment about, I think Punk would be happy with just having $20.
And he could work. Yes, he could work with $20. Speaking of Mr. Cabana, Punk decided to respond to Nikki after the first podcast. Colt mm-hmm. asked for some questions on the email, and they crashed Colt's server.
Okay. What were they expecting? And unfortunately, half of that was troll bullshit questions.
Which, by the way, he admitted. Okay.
Yeah.
They admitted that a lot of it was troll bait, but they did bring up Vince's apology. And, okay, Carl, you have a little disclaimer for this?
Yeah, we're using this with permission and not to begrudge anybody.
Yes, and by the way, yes, this comes from the Art of Wrestling. This clip comes from the episode 226 of the Art of Wrestling podcast on Colt Cabana's SoundCloud clip. Jim, listen to what Punk has to say. Please.
I think there's plenty of guys out there that think they know. Jericho, I think, is one of them. Jericho thinks that I feel exactly how he felt in 2005, and he left for two and a half years or something like that.
Right.
So from his perspective, he felt in 2005 when he left that he was never going to come back. And now he sees me saying that, and he's probably like, just wait 3 years.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? You'll feel like it'll come back. And I can see his point of view, but then in turn I go, motherfucker, they didn't fire you on your wedding day. They didn't purposely and maliciously try to ruin a day that was supposed to be, you know, is supposed to be special to everybody. It's your wedding day.
Mm-hmm. That they did know about.
I don't want to hear, it was a coincidence. Yeah. I don't want to hear, the lawyers didn't talk to talent relations. I talked to Hunter on the 11th. On the 13th, FedExed overnight. I got a document that was dated the 12th. My wife asked for that time off so she could, A, get married, B, go on her honeymoon.
Yeah.
The weekend after her honeymoon, she was back on TV. You know what I mean? Right. Like, they knew. I don't want to hear, it was a coincidence. And you know what? I'll address it. If the apology was sincere, you wouldn't use it as a publicity stunt on Austin's podcast. You have my phone number. You have my address. You could text. You could call. You could show up when you're a 10-minute fucking drive from my house and apologize to me like a man.
Yeah.
That's the fucking reality of it. That's the fucking timeline, ladies and gentlemen. I was sick and fucking hurt and sick and tired and burnt out, and I walked. And I can do that because I'm an independent fucking contractor. And then I was suspended. And then nobody contacted me after my suspension to be like, you're unsuspended. We need you at Raw. I got those phone calls. We need you at TV a day after elbow surgery. I got that phone call a day after knee surgery.
Right. They weren't afraid to
they weren't afraid to do it
that.
Then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So where the fuck was my phone call? Oh, I'm suspended. Fine, great. I'm suspended. You know what? Maybe in the 2 months I'm going to wind up feeling better and I'm going to come to my senses. But nobody ever found out because nobody ever reached out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every 6 months we had a new head of talent relations, whether it was Jane Geddes, whether it was Sean McCleary, you know, and there all these people had no business being the head of talent relations. You know, and every 6 months, somebody knew. And you're supposed to relate to the talent, but nobody knew how to talk to these people. I'm a wrestler. I don't know, you know what I mean? The head of the HR department doesn't know anything about taking bumps. He doesn't know what a payday is. If I said, hey, I'm a blue eye, he wouldn't know what the fuck I'm talking about. So it's hard to relate to these people. Mm. You know? I don't want to hear it was a coincidence, and I'm sorry. It was a publicity stunt. You're sorry. Great. Be a man and call me.
I don't want to get you so fired up.
I'm sorry.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. Wait, it's the fucking way it is, though, man. It's the fucking way it is.
Yeah.
That's fucking reality. And if you, if anybody out there thinks, oh, it was a fucking coincidence, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
But they, he's, I mean, that whole thing, and I don't want to get into it, but like, you know, that whole, like, I thought Steve was great. He was trying to get answers, and then the guy manipulates so much that it's like he doesn't have time to get to be like, no, you lied, or why, come on, this answer. And so it's his program, his thing, he does whatever he wants. And in saying that, you understood it, and that's why you're the fuck out of
and that,
there.
Yeah, yeah, and that's it. And I don't know why anybody's got to be mad about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, people who are like, you signed a contract. You have to understand that contracts are not fucking worth the paper they're printed on.
Mm.
If they were, they wouldn't have settled. They would have held me over a fucking barrel, and I wouldn't be doing this fucking podcast. I waited till everything, all the legal bullshit was out of the way. I never sued them. It was all about a settlement. It was, hey, guys, guess what? You can't do that. You can't do this, and don't do this. And they immediately fired back and were like, okay, how do you want to proceed? And that's what it was, you know? Lawyers didn't jam anything up. Lawyers expedited the process, and now I'm a fucking free guy. Look at Del Rio. Bless his fucking heart. Love that guy. He's wrestling other places now. You know why? Because you can't put a no-compete clause on an independent contractor. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay. We're through the looking glass, people.
What?
We're through the looking glass, people. No, that's in. Punk is 100% right. So next on that lineup is going to be Rey Mysterio.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see where that lands. But, you know, Punk has a very, you know, Punk's point, the one point that I'm with him on. Okay, you know, you want to talk? Let's talk. My door's open. You have my phone number. The hell, man? And we know that you two were texting each other at 3 o'clock in the morning because neither of you sleep. So why did everybody shut up? Punk isn't mincing words. I mean, he let it all hang out, and as you heard there, he responded to Austin's podcast saying, well, okay, if you're really that sorry. Chris, any thoughts?
I understand why he's coming from with Vince doing the apology as a publicity stunt, even though from what I remember, this Austin podcast announced to happen before we officially knew Punk was on Colts, right?
I think so.
Yeah, because if I remember correctly, that they were promoting the on podcast during Survivor Series, if I remember correctly.
Anybody want to help me out on that one?
What was the timeline of the podcast?
The fact that the Austin podcast was being advertised before Punk's first run through with Cole.
Yes, because here's what happened.
It was Survivor Series.
Yeah, I thought so.
Right. So they announced the podcast like the week before Survivor, like even the week before Survivor Series, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, they knew it was coming. Okay. And then Punk's first podcast drops on the 26th, Thanksgiving Day.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the live podcast on December 1st, and then on December 4th, Punk responds.
Okay. So, yeah, I can understand where he's coming from with the apology being a publicity stunt in his mind, but it wasn't just because he was on the podcast it was a publicity stunt, but... And also, well, yeah, I lost track. What else? Let's just say then. Okay.
All right, then, Shane, your thoughts on all this?
As far as Vince McMahon's podcast went with Austin, I thought it was really good. Like, I agree with Punk. The apology should have been done face to face, not done over a freaking podcast, because that's just gutless. As far as Punk's second podcast goes, well, pretty much he was just repeating the same stuff, whereas, like, hey, I got fired on my wedding day and everything else. It's like, dude, we get it. You got fired on your wedding day. We know you're pissed off, but, yeah, don't rehash it, but as far as the independent contractor thing was concerned, I thought that was brilliant. I'm like, wow, okay, that'll do.
That little piece alone is something that is going to wake up a lot of wrestlers, because, you know, I think, you know, Punk pointed it out in the first podcast. There's a lot of questions that he was bringing up that nobody knew the answers to. And Punk didn't like what he was hearing and not hearing. And to be honest, on this very podcast, we speculated on that.
I'm very intrigued into something that Vince McMahon said on the Austin podcast, which was, I don't know if anyone else heard it, but the whole Vince McMahon saying that no one's really ever been able to grab the brass ring comment that he made.
Ah, yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I really want to play with this one. The comment, I think, was something like, you know, all these millennials don't understand what it takes to get to the top in this business. Am I correct?
Yeah, he's, let me pull up the quote one more time as we're getting this. I should keep that up because we're going to be talking about it a bit.
Like I said, I might not even get to Raw and SmackDown, although there's a couple things I do want to talk about from there. Go ahead, Shane.
I think Super Cena's ego just got hit with a hit of McMahon kryptonite with that comment alone. It's just like, well, I'm a 15-time champion, and Vince is saying I still haven't reached the brass ring yet? What the hell?
No, he said there isn't much camaraderie as backstage. He said there are no other big leagues for talents to go there. There are talents who are walking on eggshells, afraid to do anything. Vince said, well, don't piss anyone off. Vince said that there isn't much camaraderie and silliness backstage as there was in the Austin era. He described the locker room as less ambitious because they're millennials. Vince said the last guy to try and reach for the brass ring was John Cena. He sees potential in Ambrose, Rollins, and Reigns, but they aren't there yet. He said the talents don't do what Austin did. Allen's challenged the roster to take chances to try to get over. Vince said the roster is thin, and he wants to see guys do it as well. Vince said there are those who are afraid of failure. Nikki, that button again, please.
Bullshit.
They're afraid to get freaking fired is what it is.
Exactly. No one's going to... And here's the truth, Vince. I'll say what you don't have the balls to say, even though you're on Austin's podcast. The last person that grabbed that brass ring, yes, was John Cena. Why? Because Cena makes you the most money. Why? Because he demographs to the ones that are like five to their mid-12s. So all the kiddies are getting around Cena and buying his merchandise and going, yay! And person before that, Steve Austin, who grabbed the brass ring. He revolutionized the whole era, hence the reason why he grabbed the brass ring. Guy before him, Shawn Michaels, who would constantly tell you to your face to F off and everything else. You couldn't fire him because, well, you had no one on your roster that could really hold a candle to him at that stage. And then you had, of course, Hulk Hogan, who grabbed the brass ring because he started the whole Hulkamania era.
And the closest thing to a challenge, and this might even be an embellishment, is Jericho. Judging from some of the stuff I've read in his book, Jericho is willing to go straight to Vince on a lot of stuff. But Jericho is also somebody who doesn't need the Fed. There was an awesome argument in there with him when he was talking to Vince about something. I forget exactly what it was. And Vince wouldn't budge, and Jericho's like, you know what, I'm just gonna come to your house and kick your ass. And Vince says, I'll give you my address. And hung up. So it's not like you can't get a hold of Vince. But what these lazy millennials are trying to do is they just want to keep their jobs. There is no place else to go. And if they go and get in Vince's face, and if they do it at the wrong time in the wrong place, they're going to get their asses thrown out. Ask Colt Cabana. Oh, yeah. The other guy that went reaching for the brass ring was Zack Ryder, and they told him to give it back.
And tell that to Dolph Ziggler, to Daniel Bryan. To people who were not made by you. And excuse me, Vince, fuck you. Seriously. Fuck you. Who the fuck are you to tell everyone else that they aren't busting their ass? Really? Who the fuck are you?
Yeah, I have seen certain superstars comment on this, but the fact I haven't seen a single superstar grow a set of balls and actually say, you know, what Vince said was complete and utter bullshit. Like, we had Jey Uso, who, hey, I understand he's in, like, the tag team division and everything else, but for him to publicly go in there and say that, oh, maybe Vince is just trying to light a fire under the locker room and shit, it's like, come on, man. You don't honestly believe that crap, do you? I mean, look what happened to the last two blokes that voiced their opinions on the product or people in the product. Dolph Ziggler was treated like crap for months, losing to guys like Fandango and friggin' everything else, and then has only just got back to an Intercontinental title shot, now has got it taken off him by Luke Harper, but is in the safe house. And then Antonio Cesaro, who had a major rocket ship up his ass, and now he's just gone nowhere after stating facts about John Cena and the product. Like, what can you do?
It's damned if you do and damned if you don't. And it's like any other corporate structure. What Vince needs to do, if he really wants to see a fire lit under the asses of the guys that he's got in his locker room, he ought to go down there and actually talk to these guys. not just go through Hunter, not just make phone calls. He has physically attended the last couple of Raws. To one, to pick up his daughter and his doofus son-in-law for the storyline removal of the authority. And then briefly, this past Monday, to hype the podcast with Austin. That means Vince is within earshot, and go talk to your talent and see, and just look them square in the eye. Because not only you're going to see guys that are determined, but you're also going to see guys that are scared out of their wits. Because if they lose this, then what? Some of these guys can't go to Japan. Some of these guys can't go to Ring of Honor. Nobody's going to go to TNA. Except Kurt Angle, dumbass. You signed with them, didn't you?
Yeah, he did.
And Brodus Clay, but who are we kidding?
Brodus Clay is the new Virgil. Sorry. Chris, I'm sorry. We're kind of blocking you from all this. What are your thoughts on all that?
Honestly, you're pretty much saying my thoughts here. And then speaking of Cesaro, they were talking about before he said that thing about the talent. They were talking about Cesaro, and Vince was saying there was something missing about Cesaro that is keeping him from getting to that point to really connect with the people.
Yeah, give him his giant swing back and let him be a face.
Exactly. It's just
we need upper mid card faces right now.
Yeah. The thing I think see here really about all this is put this in the way I can say it. It seems like they're too busy trying to find somebody to immediately become like the next Austin or the next Rock or somebody like that. And if they're not that right away, they just drop you down. Whereas if you build them up over time and not cut them off before they can get there, like they have with so many people, then you have the chance to. I mean, right now they got somebody that's working on it, it seems, in Dean Ambrose. And by the way, he's, from last I saw, he had like the top selling merchandise on the Shop Zone right now. Congratulations. Woo-hoo! There we go.
Yeah, so, excuse me. No. The most screwed up thing about Happy Scary Dean, he's a Make-A-Wish guy now. Okay?
So yeah, they asked him to go see some kids. And
after that, what I'm going to do next, I can't even say on this show.
Okay, that's not nice.
And those kids were never seen again.
Okay, this show just got dark real quick. Yeah,
No. The funniest picture, if you go to WWE.com and look in the Circle of Champions, there's a picture of Dean Ambrose doing a fist pose with a grandmother. It's awesome. It's beautiful.
I love it. I absolutely love it. But yes, actually, Jason touched on it. Dean Ambrose wins Black Friday for WWE Shop.
Chris did, not me. So, but
yeah.
Sorry, Chris said that. But with Dean's merch, including WWE, what the hell? Ugly sweaters. Deliberately ugly sweaters. And not just for Dean. There's about six or seven of them. And I saw this and I'm like, why? What?
Because it's the Christmas season. Ugly sweaters are a natural thing for the Christmas season.
But that's the point. They're not supposed to be deliberately ugly. No, seriously, let me pull this up because you guys are going to facepalm so hard. Because I saw the ugly sweater and I thought they only did one for Dean, and I'm like, okay, that's just silly. And then I went
from the first picture I see, they did one for Hogan, Austin, Dean, Warrior, Cena, AJ, and Sting.
That's what I mean. Let's see.
Speaking of Sting, his other two shirts aren't that great. He should stick with the first one he's has.
The one with his face on it, I really like.
I'm neutral on shirts with the picture of the wrestler on it, even if it's all made up like Sting.
Well, I just know somebody who will probably want it for Christmas, and that's not me.
And the other Sting shirt looks like they don't know what a scorpion looks like.
Let's see. Sweatshirts and fleece. That's what I wanted, so I could pull that up. Just to look at the ugly sweaters. First of all, you cannot put a scorpion on a Christmas sweater. The John Cena and the Warrior one are perfect. If you are going for the ugly Christmas sweater, the Dean Ambrose one, yes, very much so. All it needs is a happy scary Dean on the back.
In a Santa hat.
Yeah. And okay.
Well, the Hogan one kind of makes sense for him. You know, I could see him in the 80s rocking something like that.
No, that's fine. But excuse me, I just noticed one that was in there.
Jesus!
Austin doesn't even work there anymore. And they made an ugly sweater for him. Dear WWE, could you please make merchandise for people who actually work?
Well, we've kind of gotten off topic of what we were trying to say.
We'll admit, though, I would wear that drinking. I'm just saying. It would be fitting. Come on now, getting pissed on Christmas Eve in Australia wearing a Stone Cold Steve Austin shirt or jumper.
Okay, you.
Okay, let's get things back over here now.
Hi.
But what I was pretty much saying is, yeah, with Dean on the rise here, he's becoming a popular face right now, surprisingly, but. Or not so surprisingly, if you follow us. So the trick they need to do is to keep him on the rise instead of just cut him off at it. Because I can easily see them, even though I don't think it'll hurt him that much, because it didn't hurt Daniel Bryan that much when that happened to him. I can see him not getting the win against Bray Wyatt at TLC. And the thing is to follow up after that is what's important. If they don't follow up and continue to build Dean, then we got a problem, because Dean could easily be a top face, and maybe, not saying it's going to happen, because who knows with it, anything anymore, maybe a successor to Cena's top spot's place, so Cena can rest up a little bit in the background, but who knows.
Here's where I'm worried, is you have a point. I think what it is with Vince is that Vince is spoiled because he got Austin, Rock, and Foley all at the same time.
Right.
And that was just a perfect storm. You're not going to get that lucky again, Vince. And Ambrose is a horse you need to be riding. My worry is that, and, you know, I love him. I love Reigns. I could watch Reigns all day. I don't know if I could listen to him all day. He still needs some promo work. But I'm worried that the WWE is going to be dogged determined to push Reigns the moment he gets back. And Ambrose might be a casualty of that. I know that they're sticking with Ziggler because of some of the promos that were cut before Survivor Series and what he did at Survivor Series. Plus, I think that they're going to do something to Cena with his match with Rollins so that he will be taken out of the title picture, and that will get them buys. I honestly think, you know, They played up a lot on SmackDown about John Cena's record at TLC. Anybody remember a night that he fell through a table and Sheamus became a champion?
Yeah.
I'd like to see him fall through a table and have Rollins pointing and laughing at him. Maybe that'll get the distraction off the fact that they had to alter the logo just a little bit for this pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah. What the hell is a stairs match anyway?
And what the hell is Big Show, you know, tempting fate by going up against the same steel stairs that almost cost him an eye?
He just has to ask Brock Lesnar how dangerous stairs are. That's how he's lost all his matches that he's had since coming back.
Well, Lesnar also believes, you know, also doesn't realize just how, you know, how many of these stairs there are, because he tries to pick up the top. He was going to pick up the top, and then he picks up all of them. And he just stands there confused for a second.
And then he just chucks him anyway, because he's Brock Lesnar, damn it.
That's right. That's exactly right. And Big Show tripped. I don't know if he tripped or if this was a deliberate thing or what it was, but the spot was that he had the top part of the stairs, and he dropped them, and he was supposed to drop his head into the V, and he hit it completely wrong and screwed up his left eye. I mean, his entire eye was swollen shut purple.
Ow.
I just remember it because it didn't even look real. But ow. So I'm okay with this, because Big Show, being the veteran that he is gonna, you know, it's gonna say, okay, fine, you know, this is a goofy concept, but here's our chance to see what we can do with another guy we're gonna try to build up, Eric Rowan. Jim, I need to borrow you for just a second.
Yes.
I want to ask you a very personal question regarding Eric and something that you have a lot of experience with.
Okay.
They're playing Rowan as this, you know, he is intelligent, but he's still very childlike in his mind. And the first word that came to my head when they started talking about him like this was autism.
I never thought of it that way, but you might be onto something. I would go maybe not so much autism, but Asperger's syndrome, which is within, I guess, the autism spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
He's high functioning. Yeah, he portrays a high functioning character. Like you mentioned, the interview they had with Tom Phillips on Raw, you have an IQ over 140. You can play this, that, and the other. And he's he's fixing a Rubik's Cube like it's nothing.
You make wine. You're a winemaker. You know?
If the area he's from, it's called moonshine.
Well, this is true. But I think there's something to that. I think, and I didn't even realize it until you just said it, I think you might be onto something. And I think if that's the case, if that's kind of the, you know, savant-like kind of character development, that's pretty interesting. It's not exploitive in any way, in my opinion, if that's the case. I think it's kind of interesting.
It was something, you know, just when they throw out all these crazy accolades, and Bray Wyatt has always talked to us that this is a man-child.
Yeah, I mean, I go back to my experiences with my brothers. My middle brother, Michael, is as smart as a whip, yet, you know, he is a child at heart. And my youngest brother, Cody, maybe even more like him, in that he does show that he's very smart from time to time, but you can only talk to him on, like, the equivalent of a 5 or 6-year-old level. You get nothing out of him, hardly. I think there might be something to that hypothesis.
It's just something I wanted to put out there, because you know, a lot of people say, oh, WWE wouldn't be that subtle. Well, now that they've actually hired a couple of writers that know what the hell they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And this, you know, if Rowan isn't a good speaker, this is actually kind of cool, because Rowan, with this, you know, with this kind of tick, with this setup, he could be their next Kane.
Yeah.
If it's not going to be Harper, it's going to be Rowan.
Yeah, very possible. I mean, he's pretty much gotten over with the crowd, I think. And that's all that matters, ultimately, isn't it?
Exactly. So, buy your sheep masks, people.
I want to be a sheeple.
Well, no, I'm enjoying what they're doing, and putting him with Big Show is actually a good idea. You've got a good power match, even mm-hmm. with the ridiculous concept.
And Big Show's not afraid to lend credibility to somebody else. He's willing to make other superstars as opposed to certain glory hogs, just saying.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Pay attention to me!
No, not him.
Not him. No, no. A guy he doesn't really like these days. That's all. Some might call him an asshole. I'm just throwing it out there.
Oh, he's off TV for a while.
Oh, well, of course. Well.
But yeah, the card is being put together nicely, and we've got little side stories, and they're trying. Points to you, WWE. They're trying to get more people to watch Total Divas. As they tie in the Usos, Miz and Mizdow thing by throwing Naomi in there. Because she's married to Jimmy.
Hey,
she's married to a flying Uso Maggle.
Yeah.
So, Miz just.
I was going to say, Chris. Miz took a pretty good punch on Monday from one of that Uso.
Oh, that was okay. That was great. Okay, I got to tell you something. All right. When I saw him go on and just went bam, I was just like, that is one pissed off motherfucker. I mean,
stay away from my wife.
Bitch.
Well, it's nice to see the Usos do an emotion besides just happy dancing or worried or something.
It's one of those. I guess this is probably a dimension we needed for the Usos, because they've been happy bouncy faces for the past couple of years, and it's hard. It's probably hard for people to think that these guys started out as heels. Angry Samoan heels with Tamina.
And wearing Bill Cosby sweater vests.
Yeah. Okay, some things did need improvement. Anyway. But the slap was epic, and I'm sure when this was discussed, Miz probably told him, don't hold back. Think that, you know, make it like I'm really hitting on your wife. Even though I wouldn't do that because I've got Maryse. Ha ha. Anyway.
My wife's hotter. Fuck you.
And meanwhile, poor Sandow is off on the side, you know, glad that he didn't have to take that punch, but selling it anyway.
Oh, that, yes, exactly. Mizdow still is gold.
I'm torn. You know, I don't know if I want. You know, we should break him up sooner or later. You know, what would Mizdow do once he breaks up with Miz? Do everything that the Miz does, but better.
Pretty well, he much. Already does that.
Well, yeah.
Oh,
but...
yeah. Well,
well, I could have told you that, but. Then again, I might be slightly biased, because even before this, Sandow was my idol.
See, Damien knows about the other fourth of the figure four instead of the figure three fourths that three and a three fourths that Miz does.
Yes,
that's because Miz doesn't have the legs to do a figure four.
Yes, but Nikki, you know, when you said Austin was your idol, you didn't say it with feeling. You really didn't say it. I didn't believe it.
No, you know? I didn't either.
I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. Damian Sandow is my idol.
Bingo. There you go. Now you mean it.
You're welcome.
There you go.
Exactly. Oh. And I want him back so bad. I want that one back so bad. But I just want Miz to push him and push him to the point that he finally just stands up, you know, pulls himself to his full height, which is a full head and a half taller than Miz, point straight in the eye, silence!
I kill you! No, I'm sorry.
The crowd will erupt. Anyway.
Then he drops Miz and just leans over and says, "You're welcome," to him.
My night will be made. My entire night will be made.
But if he's going to bring that back, he needs to bring back the robe and towel, too. Cause
yes.
The t-shirt wasn't working.
No.
Oh, by the way, first of all, let me give you some more positive news, actually. I don't know if you heard, but we actually are going to have another Hardy in the world. I don't know if you know about this. Riri's pregnant. Okay. Riri Sky. Matt Hardy is breeding with Riri. Yes.
Hey, I just watched that video, actually.
And Carl's not going there now. Okay. This has been sort of a Punk-centric podcast. But something of CM Punk's, which he did last year, finally came to light. Oh, my goodness. That was awful.
Okay. You know what exactly what you're talking about. Now, I am a cartoon junkie, at least up to the early 90s. Saturday mornings, you know, had everything I needed. Flintstones was syndicated, and I've seen all of the spin-offs. This one coming up with WWE is, I think Punk had used this term, hot garbage.
Yeah, that's it. Oh my God.
First of all, whoever you got, they found to play Fred and Barney need to be fired.
Somebody did point out something about Barney's voice. He said it sounded more like the original Barney from like the first couple episodes when Mel Blanc was doing a little higher pitch voice.
Okay.
Fred, I understand, though. That's not.
I'm sorry. The second guy that did Fred, you know, I had a lot of problems with, but whoever's doing him currently is only a passing resemblance. The fact that Baby Pebbles speaks, I'm still a little off on. And the prehistoric renaming of those wrestlers that showed up is the laziest crap I've ever heard. The best one, I think, was Vince himself. Vince McMagnum?
McMagma.
Thank you. And I was reading through the threads on the freaking awesome network about this, and somebody said, didn't they draw Vince like a few decades younger? To which I said, well, this was when he was just starting to get the Fed off the ground.
Oh yeah, Jeff Bergman. Oh God, he sucks. He's terrible. Okay.
Minus five stars. Anyway.
Yes. And of course, Daniel Bryrock, John Cena Stone, the Boulder Twins. Was that it?
Yeah, the Boulder Twins, which only Nikki qualifies for that.
Hold on, what?
Jason, let's be perfectly honest. John Cena hasn't seen a stone in friggin' ages, but... anyways. This guy... Like, seriously, I just watched the trailer for this then, and I thought to myself, you have to have very strong drugs to want to buy that. I'm just saying.
Okay, that makes me sad that Frank Welker... who has been in the cartoon voice business forever and ever, amen. If that was him doing Barney,
not one of his better ones.
No, but then again, this is the guy who plays Megatron, right?
Yes.
Okay. So,
among others,
among a cavalcade of other characters that I grew up with, and I watched this and I was offended.
Yeah,
I was offended. I think is the best way to put it. This makes the Scooby-Doo look like the freaking Secret of NIMH.
Oh God! Oh. Wow. So, That's harsh.
But I'm serious. I mean, we only get to hear a couple of the wrestlers. We hear Punk, and Punk doesn't sound like he even wants to be there.
Probably because he didn't at the time.
At the time, no. And Vince sounded a little more wooden than what I'm used to, because he even felt like he was putting a little bit of effort into the Scooby-Doo one.
Also, I heard a rumor that Goldberg is actually going to be a part of this too,
and that might actually get them some buys. I might check this out by other means, but no, that does not get a dollar of my get a dollar out of my pocket.
No, I will stream it. I will not buy it. Hell no.
But you know what I will go to in November of 2015?
And that is?
Bond, James Bond, Spectre.
because Dave Villain!
Yeah, Dave Henchman, yes.
And the picture you sent me, like I said, I prefer Dave with more hair on top of his head. But he's got the lead henchman thing down. So good on you, Dave. You don't have to wrestle anymore, so you can laugh at Seth Rollins making fun of your wrestling and acting.
Dave getting Rock's bank account. You know?
Yeah, Dave making crazy bank. I mean, he doesn't have to wrestle another day in his life, and he probably won't.
No, he doesn't have to do it. See, and the funny thing is, one film did it. One film got him this role. And boy, is he's got bank right now. Seriously.
Oh, yeah, he technically doesn't have to work another day in his life. Oh, you want me to do a Bond flick? Oh, let me look at my... Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I'll be right there. So...
And by the way, that was announced this week on a worldwide stream through a bunch of sites. And like I said, this is actually, could you say this is the biggest role that a wrestler ever had in a movie?
Depends.
Come on, Jason. Let's be perfectly honest. Hulk Hogan in Suburban Commando was the biggest role.
Thank you for using that one and not Santa with Muscles.
Hey, I could have gone even worse and said, no, Hulk Hogan and Mr. Nanny. Now, that's what did it. Damn.
But actually, to be serious, I could, at the time, this would be equal to when Hogan was in Rocky III, though. If you think about it.
Yeah, that's actually that's a fair,
I'll pay that.
Yeah. Because being in Rocky III made Hogan's career, pretty much. If it wasn't for that, he'd just be a normal wrestler.
Well, and he wasn't exactly a normal wrestler either. Mm. But this, you know, this helped Hogan get into the even further into the mainstream. And Dave, even though he's not wrestling, is going to make a name for himself outside of wrestling. Just like Rock has done over the last few years. He may have done some silly movies, but there ain't anything silly about all them zeros on the left side of the decimal point, Jason. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, look, you have, honestly, you have guys like you said, Rock, who's a billion-dollar guy now.
Okay? Yes.
He legit billion-dollar guy.
Yeah,
okay?
And he did it in a tutu. What am I doing wrong?
No. He did it in a car, okay? That's... He did it because he joined the Fast and Furious, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And remember, I think it was either 2012 or 2011. He was like in 8 films in 1 year. He's like he had a film coming out every week. Remember, mm-hmm. He was in the top 10 of box office for like half of the that year.
Yep.
When he when he had those monies, and now you got Batista. I mean, and the rumor is that Cena's turn in those couple of movies that he filmed might have him moving into the mainstream in such a way. You never know.
Yeah, okay, there you go. Shane's got another one. Dave's gonna find his way into the Kickboxer reboot.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. And Jean-Claude Van Damme's in it too. He plays the guy who teaches the guy.
Yeah. It's not actually a remake per se. It's actually the next one. And it took about how many years? Like, Jesus.
Yeah, but hey, look, Dave making money, and you're right. Dave don't need wrestling no more.
No, he doesn't. And it makes me think of a meme that I saw, Punk just walks out. Everybody cheers him as a hero. Dave actually stopped to say goodbye, and he got booed out of the building. Granted, he did the royal wave, but
but the thing is that he don't care. He don't care when the Marvel money truck and the MGM money truck backs into his car, backs into his garage.
Exactly. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and make fun of my wrestling. I'm gonna sleep on a pile of money, bastard.
Yeah. No, but as a matter of fact, I think the shoot just started. I mean, it's that quick because the movie has to turn. Movie's coming out in 11 months from today, actually. So.
Good. That means I don't have to see the trailers for 6 months.
Hmm.
Sorry, pet peeve. I don't like seeing trailers for movies more than 6 months ahead because you will never match the hype.
Of course.
That is just me, so. Oh, what else do I need to look at? All this goofy stuff. Oh, yes. Next week's Raw is the Slammies. Jason, have you gotten your damn Slammy yet?
No, but you could buy one for $200. Okay.
Well, I thought you were just going to turn in your ticket so you could get one.
Look, the way I, you know what, right now I don't trust WWE corporate these days. After Punk,
that's true. They'll FedEx you something on your birthday. Anyway,
yeah.
Well, Vince already fired everyone on TV one time. Remember? So.
I want to know where my severance pay is from that.
But
I think we calculated it. I think it came out to like 17 cents a person. So, but yeah, next week is the Slammies. The voting starts Saturday morning, December 6th, through the website and the app. Mm-hmm. If it's only through the app, then they're not getting my vote. let me see if I can find some stuff about the Slammies on the website.
I have the categories, but they don't have the, I don't know if they have the actual nominees yet up, do they?
No, the nominees will be posted Saturday morning. And that means I need to get my act together for the Nickies.
And just in time for this Slammy Awards, on the WWE Network, they're including highlights from past Slammy Awards, including the 1987 one where Vince sings.
Yeah, so go ahead.
No, I was going to say, which is the one that Triple H and Shawn absolutely obliterated. Oh, God.
And, you know, just, you know, some of the Slammy events have been fun. And they'll even use them to push a couple of storylines. Or at least I'm hoping for it. I had the categories. Let's see. You sent me a bunch of them. Superstar of the Year, Diva of the Year, Match of the Year. This is Awesome Moment of the Year. Laugh Out Loud Moment of the Year. Extreme Moment. .com Awards, which will be awarded during the pre-show. They're going to do... Is it a full-hour pre-show?
I'm not sure. I think it's a half hour or an hour. Not 100% sure. The Tell Me You Just Didn't Say That Insult of the Year, Hashtag of the Year, Raw Guest Star of the Year, Tag Team of the Year, Rivalry of the Year, Tweet It, Best Twitter Handle or Social Champion. Well, Match of the Year, if I may, Nikki, if I can just, there's a few that come to mind.
Oh, I can think of a few myself.
What was it? The Shield Evolution Extreme Rules? Is that the one?
There's that one. Shield Wyatt's at Elimination Chamber.
Woof! Oh, man, was that nuts.
It was even more fun in person. Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30.
Which match?
Yes.
Okay, both of them. All right.
His match with Hunter was really good, and the title match is still one of the biggest feel-good moments of this year.
Mm-hmm.
That probably falls in my holy shit moments.
No, I will give you that this is awesome moment of the year, and I was there live for it. Rock comes in and beats up Rusev. That was insane.
And that's probably going to be... That'll definitely be on there. This is awesome. Let's see.
Now, what category do you think? Because you know they're going to find a way to get it in there.
Oh, God.
What category do you think the Lesnar or Undertaker match be listed under?
Let's see. If that doesn't go under the match of the year, I don't see anything else that would fit it. Because it's not, I won't call it an awesome moment.
I think it'll be probably hashtag of the year if they did a hashtag for it. Hashtag Straight Conquered or whatever.
Personally, I want the hashtag of the year to be Bunny Mania. Just to piss off JBL.
Yeah, most of these you can already pick winners for.
Oh yeah. But
like tell me you didn't just say that insult of the year. I would probably say I would definitely award that to AJ Lee for her talent isn't sexually transmitted.
That's like, a great yes.
If it's not that, it is Brie Bella breaking the bitch barrier. The fact that we hadn't heard bitch on the show in...
Not counting Rock.
Active performers have not used that word for several years. So, whoa.
What about... now, here's the question. Yeah. Does Daniel Bryan still win Superstar of the Year?
If Dean doesn't...
Uh-huh. Yeah.
If Dean Effin Ambrose doesn't, then it's going to Daniel Bryan.
Okay. Would I be wrong in saying, though, that I personally think that Dolph Ziggler should be getting that title, getting the award this year? Because that man has busted his ass for many years now and hasn't gotten acknowledgement for it.
If this is a true fan vote, he'll be in the running.
But we all know it's not. But
I'm just saying, if this was a true fan vote, Ziggler would be in the running.
He'd be in the running, if not winner.
But I don't know. And, you know, I would like to give him, I'd need to give him some kind of award. Shit, he might end up with the Nikki Loyalty Award because he's put up with my nonsense for the last couple of years. Every time I've run into him, he at least stops for a picture. Let's see.
The anti-gravity moment in NXT Superstar of the Year award, that's going to be won by the same bloke, wouldn't it? Surely.
And by the way, match of the year, also do not count out, what was it, Cesaro Zayn 2 out of 3 falls. That may be up there. That might be in there too.
So, you know, we can't speculate on that, but as you know, I'm going to be taking extensive notes because I have to get my awards set up.
Now, here's another thing I'm thinking about with this whole thing. The Slammy Awards the past few years have had a big moment at the end of them, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. 2011, it had the return of Masked Kane. 2012, it had the AJ... Big E Ziggler alliance that started up. And let me pull up the results of what happened last year. It's been a but yeah, what do you think? Do you think while I'm doing that, what do you think, if anything, that's something like that is going to happen this year? And if so, what?
Well, one of the suggestions I see in the chat is that Sting or Austin will be revealed as the new permanent GM, because we're not going to juggle. They're not going to do guest hosts, and we're not going to have guest GMs. Although I still want my Raw as Anarchy. Seriously, I want one night where everything is just completely out of control, and at some point, people go to Cena and say, we might need the authority. This is nuts. And John will say, no, it's not. This is awesome. This is great.
Yeah, you'd have to put that in with an Austin running Raw moment then, wouldn't you? I mean, him going around and stunning everybody. All the heels would be coming up to John going, we need the authority back.
I had plenty of Austin in charge of Raw 10 years ago. But if they go there, they go there.
So you're hoping more for a Steve Borden running Raw?
Which I don't think they're going to do, because I think Sting's only down for a handful of dates.
Yep.
And one of them has already been used, Survivor Series, and one of them is already booked, WrestleMania.
And everyone's crossing their fingers hoping it's the match that they want.
I don't think it's gonna happen.
If this was 15 years ago, I would say yes.
But then again, I have to just scrub off the bad news mic here. But got some bad news for you people. It will probably be Triple H versus Sting. Enjoy.
Oh, yes, and with TLC coming up, and this will probably, I'll go ahead and put a cap on it. Speaking of Barrett, I believe Barrett is going to be the bearer of bad news in the Royal Rumble ad this year.
Oh?
There's a picture floating around of Barrett in the Swami gear that Santino Marella wore for a Royal Rumble a few years back. And the picture shows him all dressed up with the microphone in his hand and that great big shitting grin as he's about to deliver some bad news. I'm hoping for the good news that they are actually going to follow through and do a 40-man Rumble. Bad news is I don't think it's going to happen, but we'll see. So, I have been asked to wrap this crap up. So, before we go, Carl, before you fall asleep, get in here and plug something.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, something that we actually did before we started recording this little thing, huh, Jim?
I'm here. Oh. No, I'm here. Yes, the BS Big Show. We talk professional tackle football. Very exciting.
Yeah, under an hour, so there you go. No, we recapped Week 13, and we had a game last night that we talked about the Bears losing to the Cowgirls.
They looked awful. They were terrible. They were just awful. But I think the Brandon Marshall thing, that injury hurt more.
That, yeah, their season's done. But yeah, we got that going on. So listen for that.
Indeed.
And hey, Jim, we got to talk baseball soon, don't we?
Next week or so, we're going to do our first Touch 'Em All Hot Stove. excuse me, I'm losing my voice. This isn't good because I got work tomorrow. Our first Touch 'Em All Hot Stove episode. It's a shame nothing much has happened. I mean, the Yankees picked up a shortstop. Mike Trout, MVP.
And a pitcher, too, I believe.
Oh, they picked up a pitcher. Some guy in Florida is making maybe $325 million. You know, possibly. We'll destroy that myth a little bit there. But there are some moves and some wheeling and dealing, and we'll talk all about it. Plus, we have kind of the biggest non-story of the offseason. An umpire has come out as gay. Good for him. I could care less. But we'll broach the subject. And we might also do, in honor of the holiday season, your holiday wish list for your team. Because we have a lot of different fan bases here. You can only imagine what my wish list is for a Phillies fan. Yes.
Ruben Amaro, a one-way ticket to Antarctica?
Ruben roasting on an open fire. Goulet. Indeed. But listen for that. Speaking of this show, the NAWC, if you don't mind me saying so, Miss Heyman.
Go ahead.
We had a couple of fine podcasts you can listen to. One, I like to call them the Instant Reaction Podcast, where we watched the Survivor Series together for only it was free that month. Oh, who gives a damn? And we gave our running thoughts, dialogue to it, not commentary, because we get our asses sued, and did a bit of a redux on it. We also did a part one emergency broadcast of the first Colt Cabana CM Punk podcast, me, Jason, and Nikki, for a good hour and a half, and that was insightful and entertaining stuff, and there was a lot to dissect, so you'll want to listen to those podcasts on CLW83.com, WrestleChat.net, and of course, the freaking awesome network.
So, on top of all that, Jason, do you have something to promote?
Just a couple things. Pixel Nation, we did a Black Friday special. We got another episode coming up. They are trying to, I'm just trying to think, WLTI Live, Red State, Blue State, hey, Jim, this
yes,
weekend
yes,
must done. Be done,
yes,
okay?
Yes,
must right. be done.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, and I will say this is a totally fabricated race war that is trying to, I honestly don't believe what I am seeing. And Jim, you will kind of agree with me on this.
I think so, in regards to the two big stories involving white versus black.
Right, exactly. I don't believe that we are as polarized as what people and the media want you to believe. This is a joke. Trust me on this one.
It's stick and move at its finest.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
So a whole bunch of dog wagon, huh?
Oh, believe me. Let me just tell you.
We have more fertilizer than you can imagine.
Let me just tell you.
Oh, trust me. I'm to the point now that I don't want to say anything because the last thing I need is my house nuked.
Yeah, exactly. So, but we'll talk about that and other stuff here. And, of course, you can hear it. Stitcher Radio, Player.fm, and TuneIn Radio. Best free apps. Okay.
Free.
So there you go. Done there.
All right. Chris, you're here. Promote.
Well, first of all, I wanted to say thing for the Pixel Nation thing. I found there's another game out soon that's going to be in a console exclusive. Apparently, they're finally getting around making Street Fighter V after 10 years of doing Street Fighter II and so forth.
Oh, and by the way, I think we may mention something about something on WWE 2K15, but we're going to talk about that on Pixel Nation. Not necessarily here.
Right.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about, right, Nikki?
I know what you're talking about. Be careful.
I understand. Yeah, I understand.
Anyway, to my plugging now.
Yeah.
My site is going to be. I'm still working on the January restart up of my site and all that stuff. But Nikki and I are continuing on with paper review. I'm going to sometime tomorrow, hopefully, I'm going to try to get the ones that I haven't gotten up yet up. Nikki and I earlier today just did the two Saturday night's main events before the Royal Rumble. So we're caught up almost to there. And tomorrow, Brian Henniker is going to be joining us. We're going to be recording the pay-per-view NWA... Crap, what was it called again?
Bunkhouse Brawl.
Yeah, Bunkhouse Stampede, yeah. NWA Bunkhouse Stampede 88. And depending on if Nikki and Brian and I all have time to do it and desire to do it, we might do the first Royal Rumble that day, too. Since they both aired the same day,
So this could happen.
Yeah.
I don't have anything to promote. Shane, you usually don't have anything to promote.
No, I don't have anything to promote this week.
But you guys have covered all the bases. And I don't need to promote anything because I'm right here. So for Carl Chenier, for Jim Williams, for Chris Waters, for Jason Block, for Bad News Beeman, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. We will see you after the Slammies and before the Nickies.